The other day I was at Walmart and there was a young man there that had a skateboard. And he was trying to ride that inside of Walmart. He had some friends with him. And one of the associates there, one of the workers there, asked him nicely to get off that. Don't ride that inside the store. He was an older gentleman. The young man made some disrespectful remark under his breath that I heard, and his friends giggled and they walked off. This evening we're going to talk about respect. This evening we're going to talk about a quality that is most lacking in our society and in many homes. And it was unfortunate that that young man did that. The associate was saying that most likely because they have a store policy. Because of insurance and other issues like that, you can't ride your skateboard inside Walmart. And whether you agree with that rule or not, you should respect it. But be that as it may, I wanted to take that young man and bend him over my knee and give him a good spanking. Very disrespectful. And you know what? That happens all day long. Everywhere you go. All day long, everywhere. And young people, don't get discouraged at the beginning of the lesson. This is not just about the young people. There are older folks that are disrespectful. It's for all of us. I want to talk about respect this evening. Ask Colton if you would read Genesis 1. We've forgotten that we're all made in the image of God. We treat individuals like they're objects. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the White House or if you're sitting on the side of the road or anywhere in between. We are made in the image of God. And we need to remember some things like that. We're going to talk about respect this evening. It's not being taught in our world. It's not being exemplified in the home. Disrespectful language, disrespectful attitudes, disrespectful body language. In many places, it's not being taught. It's not being set as a right example. And we wonder why our nation is having the problems that it's having. And it's not just for the young people. You stop and think about it. A lot of disrespect from young people, they're getting it from their parents. They're getting it from others around them that are older. You've heard that expression, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. In other words, we're typically like our parents. A lot of times there's disrespect among young people because there's disrespect in the home among the adults. Where do our young people learn disrespect? Well, when they're real little, they learn a lot of things in the home. When they get a little bit older, yes, they learn from friends and society, but often it's learned in the home. So the lesson this evening is for all of us. I got to thinking, we need a good lesson on respect. I need that. We all need a reminder of that. And it does start in the home. And when there's a lack of respect in the home, then that goes out into the school. Jennifer, I'm sure she can tell us plenty of stories of disrespect at the school level. Disrespecting teachers. Linda Hensley, I'm sure, saw that. It ends up in the local church, in the community, and then in our nation, and it's around the world. And it starts in the home. So much, good or bad, starts in the home. We're going to be studying next quarter, Lord willing. Some of the classes are going to be studying the marriage and home and family. So important. And so this evening, we want to learn what God's Word has to say about that particular matter. It's not just about saying sir and ma'am and please and thank you. Those are good qualities. Those are good manners. And let's teach our children to say those things. But it's more than that. It's attitudes and actions and things that we do for other people beyond just saying, sir and ma'am. Do we have respect for others? Do we have respect for certain occasions that are going on? David Brown prayed last week about the seriousness of our service. I appreciated him saying that. That caught my ear. This is a serious occasion. We're going to talk about respect for occasions. We're going to talk about respect for people's property. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about respect, but it's not being taught in our world today. Borrowing from the old Aretha Franklin song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. Tonight we're going to find out what it means to God and what it should mean to Christians. What does His Word say? It's not about what does it mean to me. It's about what does it mean to God and what has His Word said about that and how can I be a more respectful individual? What is it? We're talking about deep admiration for someone, and it could be something, not necessarily a person. When we're talking about, for example, somebody's property. Because there's a reason. They have some ability, some quality, some achievement. There's something about them or that situation that deserves and demands respect. When you open up in the Word of God, there's not just an arbitrary list of individuals that are to be respected with no reasons given there. It's not just a random list of things, and these are things you respect, and these are things you don't have to, and there's no whys or wherefores. There's reason for it. And we'll talk about that too. When we talk with others about the subject of respect, it's not just a matter of saying respect this person, but why? What's the reason for that? And that's, I believe, why some people don't respect. They don't understand the background of what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know why this person deserves respect or why this occasion deserves respect. So we're going to do that as well. This evening, we're going to learn that God wants you and I to respect others. God wants you and I to respect positions of authority. God wants you to respect certain situations and occasions. God wants you to respect someone's property. And then last of all, your own self. And when we don't, we hurt ourselves, we hurt those around us, and we put ourselves in jeopardy of the judgment day. God wants us to respect others. In the scripture reading of Genesis 1, 26 and 27, we're reminded from the very beginning that we are made in the image of God. When you are looking at someone, it doesn't matter who they are. When you're looking at a human being, they are made in the image of God. It doesn't matter how clean or dirty they are. It doesn't matter how educated or uneducated they are. They are a human being. And the scripture says that God made us in His own image. There is a God. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. We need to respect God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There are three divine beings in the Godhead. And we need to respect them. They are divine. They are omniscient. They are omnipotent. They are omnipresent. They are supernatural. They are miraculous. They are above us in every way. And we need to respect them. When the Israelites came back from the Babylonian captivity in Malachi chapter 1, the temple's been rebuilt and they've moved back into Jerusalem and they've been offering up some sacrifices again. And some of God's people went right back to just bringing God the junk, the leftovers. That was disrespectful. And so what does He say in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6? A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am father, where is my honor? And if I am master, where is my fear? Saith Jehovah of hosts. And then He goes on to talk about how they were bringing Him the leftovers. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, in Paul's day, the Gentile, the Greek and Roman world of Paul's day did not honor God as God. They didn't respect God as God, and so God gave them up unto all kinds of uncleanness. But the text says, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. They were engaged in all kinds of idolatry, but they would not serve the one true God. And they're acting in all kinds of immoral ways. We need to respect God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The husband and wife need to respect each other. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We need to be careful that the longer we're married and the more that we are acquainted with each other, that we don't slump into a situation where we speak to one another in a disrespectful kind of way. You've heard that expression, familiarity breeds contempt. Where the more you're around someone and familiar with someone, the more you have less value for them. We need to be careful about that in our marriage. The Hebrew writer says that marriage is to be had in honor. We're going to be using the word honor a lot. The newer versions say respect. Marriage is to be had in honor among all. There is to be respect among the husband and the wife. We find in 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 5, for after this manner aforetime the holy women also who hoped in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose children you now are if you do well and are not put in fear by any terror. And at this point, the husbands in the audience are saying, I sure hope my wife is listening. But read the very next verse. You husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor. That's respect. Unto the weaker vessel. I don't believe that that's talking about her, whether or not she can lift weights or not. That's talking about the weaker, finer vessel. The prized china, as it were. So there is a respect from her because of his headship. And there's a respect from him because of her value and honor. Respect among the husband and wife. There needs to be respect for my neighbor. A lot of times in our society, people mistreat those around them. You see it in the traffic and other places. What did Jesus say? Just what we call the basic golden rule in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And to love your neighbor as yourself. In our society, you badmouth them, you cut them off, you mistreat them, you abuse them. Turn to James chapter 3 and verse 9. There are people who will let out a string of profanity, or even, you don't have to do that. You could be like that young man at Walmart that just done your walking off. So disrespectful. Doesn't have to be bad words, but look at James 3:9. When you curse someone, you curse men, look at it, who are made after the likeness of God. You just curse someone who's made in the image of God. We're not even being taught anymore that my neighbor is made in the image of God. You just treat him any way you want. 1 Peter 2:17, we are to honor all men. Wow, that's a hard one. But it's not an option. We may not agree with what they're saying or doing, but we cannot lower ourselves and disrespect them. We need to have respect for the elderly. This is in both Testaments. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, we are to honor, some of the older versions say, the hoary head or the white-haired head. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, we are to honor widows. Why? There's reason for that. Look at how long they've lived. Look at what they've accomplished. Look at what they've done. And in many cases, they've taken care of you in some cases with regard to maybe elderly family members or something along those lines. Look at their wisdom. Look at what they've accomplished in life, especially when you're talking about a faithful Christian. They deserve respect. And so, kind actions toward them and kind deeds and kind words toward the elderly, our neighbor, our husband and wife, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. Respect for others. Our brethren, Turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 10. Some of the meanest and ugliest things can be said from brethren toward other brethren. And maybe you've been the recipient of that at some point in your life. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectioned in one another. Affectioned one toward another in honor, preferring one another. In honor. Respect them. In Philippians 2 and 29, when Paul was talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus, he told the Philippian brethren to honor these men. They're working hard in the kingdom. Now turn with me to Jude, verses 8 and 9. You may find this to be an interesting scripture and a lesson on respect. Turn with me to Jude 8 and 9. And the reason I included this was, have you ever been in a situation where you're with someone and, you know, they're just a dirty, rotten scoundrel and they're not acting the way they need to act, and you kind of get the idea, well, I have an excuse now to be disrespectful. I have an excuse now to sort of lower the bar and act a little bit differently. You ever been tempted along those lines? When I was putting this lesson together, I got to thinking about Jude 8 and 9 with regard to Michael the archangel when he was talking with the devil. Now, if there's anyone in the universe that is, you know, a troublemaker, wouldn't it be the devil? And yet, how did Michael address him? You remember Jude 8 and 9? Jude has been talking about these false teachers in verse 8 who, when they are with other people who are in authority, or maybe God's word that is authoritative, they set that at naught. They don't care about people in authority. So he's talking about false teachers, okay? And to show them, in contrast to Michael the archangel, he says this in Jude verse 8, in like manner, these also in their dreamings defile the flesh, set at naught dominion. I don't have to listen to those in authority, be disrespectful, rail at dignities. And then in contrast, look at verse 9. But Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. There's two things here. First of all, there's Michael the archangel. Have you ever been in a situation where you're thinking, hey, I've got some power and authority here, maybe I can be a little disrespectful? No, this is Michael the archangel, and he still has to act right. And he's talking to the devil. You think, well, the devil, man, I can just run roughshod over the devil. Who cares how I... He says, I'm not going to bring a railing judgment against you. I'll let the Lord rebuke you. We don't need to make excuses for disrespect if we have some power or position, or if the person we're talking to is a dirty, rotten scoundrel. We still have to be respectful. Michael the archangel was respectful to the devil, because it's a reflection on our character, brethren. So, do I mistreat individuals? Do I slight them? Do I injure them? Do I revile them? Do I mock and sneer like the young man at Walmart? It's disrespectful. And so, think about the people that we are with. Respect for others. Number two, God wants us to respect positions of authority. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 1. Again, remember what I said earlier in the lesson. God does not just pick a random list of things to respect, but there's reason. So number one, we respect individuals because they're made in the image of God. Number two, we respect positions of authority because that has been placed in them by God. We have to consider their role or their position. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, underscore this in your Bible, consider diligently him that is before thee. That's what people don't do. People who are disrespectful, they don't stop and consider who they're with. That's the problem. If we would stop and consider who we are with, then we would be thinking about this position that they have. We need to have respect for those who are in authority. We need to respect those who are in a governmental authority. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7 to give honor to whom honor is due. Now later he talks about the tax, pay your taxes. But there's also respect there. 1 Peter 2:17, honor the king. And that is probably written during the days of Nero, who was persecuting Christians, and he was an ungodly man. And Peter says you need to respect him. The wife is to respect the husband's headship in Ephesians chapter 5 and 33. Members of the church, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 13. We are to respect the authority of the elders. I've been in situations before where sometimes brethren will say disrespectful things to the face of elders, but often they say it to their back. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and talking about the elders. And we know that because of verse 12, they labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:13. And esteem them exceedingly highly in love. Esteem them highly. There's your respect. Esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. They've been given that position by God. They didn't take that upon themselves. They worked hard in their lives to qualify themselves. Have you looked at those qualifications lately of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1? Have you looked at those lately? That's an honor to have worked through your marriage and your family and your children and your personal character to live that way. You see, they deserve some respect. This is not just some casual list of personal qualities in a man's life. This is a high level of Christianity. Parents, Ephesians 6, verse 1. Honor your father and mother. Obey. Children, obey your parents. But if you go on reading in verses 2, 3, and 4, they are there to teach us, to train us, to guide us in life. That's why we respect them and obey them. They're working hard to take care of you, to feed you, to clothe you, to put a house over your head at night, and they're trying to raise you right and take you to heaven. That's why we respect them. And then Ephesians 6 and verse 5, the employer, the boss, needs to be respected. 1 Timothy 6:1, the slave was to honor and respect the master. And so we're all in relationships in life. When we go out to work, we have someone who is our boss. And we show respect. Now, on this note, a lot of times this particular matter comes up. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24. Have you ever thought about what happens when, as a Christian, we're going out? I'm sorry, Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. Acts 26, verse 24. Well, this comes up sometimes among brethren. What if you have a boss, a president, a parent, a teacher, an elder, anybody, a husband, anybody that has a role that's been given to them in God's Word and a position of authority, and they're not acting right? Is that an excuse to be disrespectful? Is that an excuse not to act right toward them? We don't have time to look at all of this evening, but if you ever want an example of someone who was in an environment where there were those in authority and they are speaking to him the wrong way, they're acting toward him the wrong way, it would be the Apostle Paul, and he always acted respectful to them even though they were in the wrong. So if our boss, teacher, president, elder, husband, anybody that we've just talked about here, parent, they're saying what's wrong. They're acting wrong. They're doing what's wrong. We still have to be respectful. Look at Acts chapter 26 and verse 24. If you want to get the whole thing, go home and read Acts 22 through 26. Paul is in front of Jewish authorities. He's in front of Roman authorities. And they're mistreating him, not physically beating him, but they're verbally mistreating him. And he's always respectful. So no, it's not an excuse to act disrespectful when they're not acting right themselves. Acts 26:24, "And as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art mad. Thy much learning is turning thee mad.' But Paul saith..." And then he just gave him a string of bad words. And, you know, no. What did he say? "Most excellent Festus, I speak forth words of truth and soberness." When you're in the presence of someone with authority and they're not acting right, you can respectfully disagree. But it needs to be respectful. Just on a side note, if you ever have that happen to you. Do I disobey? Do I rebel? Do I just dismiss them? No. I respect those who are in authority. That's what God wants us to do. We need to respect occasions. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. I think one of the greatest lessons I was taught as a youth from my parents was the lesson that not every occasion is exactly the same. Not every occasion is funny. Not every occasion is silly. Not every occasion involves running and jumping. Not every occasion involves joking. Mom and Dad would often teach us, "Hey, you are in such and such occasion here. This is completely different than such and such occasion over there." That's one of the greatest lessons we can teach our young people. Have you ever noticed today that everything's the same? Nothing's different as far as occasions are concerned. Every occasion has to be noisy. Every occasion there has to be movement. Every occasion there has to be running around. Every occasion has to be talking. Every occasion has to... Have you ever noticed that? Even in school today, it's hard to have serious occasions. I know that our educators are struggling with that very thing, because in the home, every second in the home, there's a certain kind of environment, and then all of that gets brought into the school or gets brought into the church building. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4. "There's a time to kill and a time to heal. There's a time to break down, a time to build up." Look at this. "A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance." Those are two completely occasions. Sometimes there's going to be serious and sober and somber occasions. Sometimes there's going to be laughing. But they're not the same. They're different. Appreciated David saying something in his prayer about the seriousness of the worship service, because it is to be. The worship assembly, for example. We're to come together, Hebrews 12 and verse 28, and worship God with reverence and awe. We don't use that word much anymore, A-W-E, where we're just in awe of God. We're just taken back by Him. In Revelation 4 and 5, there's the bowing down. It's interesting in the book of Revelation how many people are falling down all the time. They're falling down all the time up in heaven. They're falling down in praise. They're falling down in worship. It's serious. We need to respect certain occasions. The reading of God's Word. Did you notice in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5 when all of Jerusalem is gathered together there and they're reading the law? What happened when Ezra read from the law? What did the text say? The people did what? They stood up. Why? It's God's Word being read. Turn with me to Psalm 119, 161. "Even though we may not physically stand up at the reading of God's Word, in our heart and in our mind and in our attitude, we need to be saying, 'This is the very Word of God.' This is not man's Word. This is not man's opinion or man's think so. This is the very Word of God. It's an extension of God Himself. And because of that, I am going to show some respect. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy words." Yep. That's the way it needs to be. And even at home. When we do our daily Bible reading at home, when we do our daily study at home, which I'm hoping that we're doing, let it be a serious and somber moment just to hear the Word of God in this noisy world that we live in. And then, of course, Ecclesiastes 7, verses 2 through 4, the place of the dead. We call it the funeral home. It's better to go to the house of mourning. Do I find myself in a non-serious approach in every occasion that I'm in? Or can I be serious sometimes? Am I always disruptive? Am I always distracted? Unless you're using your phone as a Bible, which is fine. I'm not going to look at that during the worship service. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to have my mind on other things. This is an occasion of seriousness. When it's over, we can go back to other things and other portions of our life. But when we're here, we're going to respect God and His Word. And then, as we talked about this morning, the importance of assembling. When I'm absent altogether without cause, it really is, in my judgment, a disrespect to God. We need to respect occasions. We need to respect someone's property. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 17. What is this thing that I have? What is this object? Now bear with me, because when we read Exodus 20 and verse 17, we're going to talk about thy neighbor's wife. I'm not suggesting that she's a piece of property, but just bear with me a minute as I make the point. What was one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant. But oh, keep reading. Now we're going to talk about something that's not people. Nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The point is, it belongs to him. And that is reason to respect that. It does not belong to you. Not everything in life belongs to you. Not everything in life belongs to me. And when it belongs to someone else, we need to respect that. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 4. I may have said Ecclesiastes earlier. Exodus 20:17 and Exodus 23:4. This is interesting with regard to someone's property. Exodus 23 and verse 4. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, here's your chance to really do him in. Is that what the text says? Thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. And it's even your enemies now. Yeah. Because you're respecting his property. Proverbs 22:28. Do not remove your neighbor's landmark. His property boundary. You need to respect his property. His property lines. His property boundaries. Don't be messing with that. In the late 90s, my father moved into a subdivision up in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, and he lived on a corner, and he was bothered by the young people always cutting across the corner of his lawn and tearing it up. And he was telling me about that one day, and he said, Chris, when I was young, he was born in 1925. He said, when I was young, I was taught to respect people's property. And we would have never done that as a young person. We would have never cut across somebody's yard and wore a line in it and, you know, ride through the flower beds and tear them up and just, you know, go off. We would have never done that. Do you respect other people's property? Do I respect other people's property? When we're in their home, when we're in their environment, do we respect what they have? Sometimes it's brought to my attention with regard to the physical property here at the church building. Something to think about. Sometimes somebody will show me a songbook that's been torn up by a young person. I'm not talking about an accident. Accidents happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when somebody just deliberately sits there and tears up something. Or we're doodling on the pews. Or we're digging into the upholstery on the pews or something along those lines. What you see around you is bought by the Lord's money. You need to respect that. We need to respect the property around us and in someone's personal home. It belongs to them. It's something that was worked hard for. A lot of times people work hard for things. They sacrifice for things. And we need to respect those possessions. Do I damage someone's property? It was interesting in putting this lesson together how many laws there are in our own nation. They're called property laws. And respect of property. There are a lot of just man-made laws that deal with respect of property. But God already taught that in His Word. Let's not abuse something. Stealing something, abusing something, just carelessly hurting something or damaging something. We're not talking about an accident. Of course accidents happen. But we're not going to purposely sit there and abuse somebody's property. And let's not do that in the Lord's house. How about respect for self? As we come down toward the close of our lesson, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Do you respect yourself? Somebody says, well, sure. Doesn't everybody respect themselves? No. No. There are a lot of folks that don't respect themselves. They don't see them as made in the image of God. And what's interesting here is that Paul, in this context of 1 Thessalonians 4, is actually talking about sexual sin. And he's saying, with regard to sexual sin, that you're going to keep yourself pure and honorable. You're not going to go out and engage in fornication because you're going to honor yourself. You are a vessel that is made in the image of God. You're not going to lower your standards and your morals and just open your body up to anybody and everybody. That's the big temptation today. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Set yourself apart from those things that are sinful. That you abstain from fornication. Look at this. That each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel. This is your own body. In sanctification and honor. You need to consider your own body in an honorable way, and you're not going to use it in a dishonorable way involving sexual sin. You have a soul. I have a soul. We have a body. We're made in the image of God. And that particular relationship is to be had in a godly marriage only. Anything else is dishonorable and disrespectful to our own body and to that of the other. When the psalmist talks about mankind in Psalm 8 and verse 5, he says that we are made a little lower than the angels and we've been crowned with glory and honor. We don't need to lower ourselves and dishonor ourselves and disrespect ourselves in things that people do. Whether it's sexual sin or something else. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 9, if you turn there, the proverb writer Solomon is trying to get young people to stay away from sexual sin and that type of thing. And he goes on to say in chapter 5 and verses 15 and following, keep that sexual relationship within a godly marriage, 15 through 19. But go back to verse 9. Stay away from this ungodly woman. Verse 9. Lest you give your honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. You have an honor, a respect. Don't just dump that out in the street, as it were, to anybody and everybody. Save that for a godly marriage. But don't give your honor away. We have to respect ourselves. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26 that we have a soul. And what if we were to gain the whole world and lose our soul? That's what's important. We need to remember that we should have a respect for our self-worth. Remember in Acts 16 and verse 28 when Paul and Silas were there in the jail and the earthquake and the jail opens up and Paul and Silas are able to escape if they wanted to. I've always wondered if the other ones ran off. Paul and Silas stayed there in this jailer because of Roman law. When you're in law enforcement and you can't keep your inmates corralled, then somebody's going to come calling and hold you accountable. So he took his sword out and he was going to kill himself. And what did Paul say? Do thyself what? Do thyself no harm. We have situations today where individuals engage in suicide, some kind of self-bodily mutilation, sexual impurity. They're not respecting themselves. Don't ever do that. You are made in the image of God. You're crowned with glory and honor. And don't give your honor to someone that it does not belong to. Respect. Well, God wants us to respect others because they're made in the image of God. God wants us to respect those that are in authority because that is God-given authority. When it's government, when it's the husband, when it's the elders, when it's the parents, that has been given by God. It wasn't where people were sitting around in the room and they came up with, well, who wants to be in charge? It's in the Scripture. God-given positions of authority are to be respected. Occasions. You know, there's a time to laugh, and I'm right there. Love a good joke. You know me. Dry humor, good joke, love all of that. But you know, there's also a time to be serious. And the worship service is one of those. And the reading of God's Word is one of those. Property. People have worked hard for that. People have sacrificed for that. In the case of things around here, the Lord's money has bought these things. Let's use them properly and never, ever abuse them. And teach our young people in that particular regard as well. And then respect yourself. As we offer the invitation this evening, one way you can show respect for yourself is to come and be baptized into Christ. You have a soul. Take care of that tonight. Make your life right with God. If you're an erring child of God, come back. We would encourage you to do that. Obey the New Testament gospel plan of salvation. If there's something that you need to study more, let's do that. If there's something that you want to learn more about, let's open up God's Word and do that. But make your life right with God. But this week, let's go out with a greater sense of respect. Let's have it in our home. As parents, let's work on that with ourselves and with our children. They're watching us. They're watching us. They see us when we are in the assembly. They see if we are enjoying being here or not enjoying it. They see if we are engaged or not engaged. They hear us on the way home in the car complaining about this or complaining about that. Yeah, they do. They hear, they see. Let's make sure that we have a high level of respect for each of us here in this service and what we're about as a church so that our young people can grow up wanting to be members of the Lord's church in their life and throughout their life. And they didn't get it from us that they shouldn't care or they shouldn't be respectful. Because when they get an opportunity to get a little bit older, they'll be out on their own and they'll choose that path of not wanting to be in the church. Let's be respectful. And we're not going to be able to help everybody, young people. I was going to say, when you go to school tomorrow, you're out of school. So, 2 or 3 weeks. You know, you're going to be sitting around people at school that are disrespectful. We're going to see it in the community. We're going to see it in our nation. We're not going to be able to help everybody. I wish I could. But we can live right. We can act right. And we can help those around us. If you're subject to the invitation, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?